Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the first 9 of the 19 verses of our epistle lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 to 9. And like a lot of the lessons that we will be preaching on this year, they come from the epistles, and they're not narrations, they're not stories. So consequently, that makes them a little more difficult to follow. And so we do well to read them more than once. So let us rise for the reading of the text for today. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So far the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, dear fellow rich people, rich in God's grace toward us all. I'm going to begin this morning by drawing your attention especially to the first 3 verses of Paul's letter. He starts out with an address, kind of like what we would put on the envelope, you know, where the old label said to and from, or I guess from went on the top. But in this case, we start out with the from again, from Paul and Sosthenes, beginning at verse 2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So he's talking to the Christians in Corinth, the holy people in Corinth, and he's calling them holy people because they have been washed in the blood of Christ, because they'd been baptized into Christ, because by faith they've been declared righteous. And so you can actually go to the Isthmus of Corinth and you can see where that place was. We even know the place where they worshiped there in Corinth. And then, besides those people there at that place at that time, it goes on, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know anybody who is any place other than Corinth? Any time other than this time, who calls also upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? I guess that would be us, wouldn't it? It would be all God's people, wherever, in every place, all who call upon him. To you be grace. Now here we have a sweet reminder that the Savior who has been made manifest to the world is our Savior. And the words of grace and comfort that we have here in God's Word are not just addressed willy-nilly to the world. They are to all, indeed, who will read them. But they're addressed to you by the God who knows you and inspired these words to be written to you. For we too have the riches of God's grace in full measure given to us. That's what these words are saying. And he's making sure we know it isn't just history. We're not just overhearing some written conversation he had with some folks way back then. Now, these words are written to you as well. And he wants you to know that you have the greatest riches. Now, riches that we have, though, are not the kind that you can see. And that's, of course, as we talked about, that's the case with rich people. I don't suppose that you watch the guy who owns Amazon dragging Amazon warehouses around with him. He's rich, but his riches aren't something he has in hand. And so it is also with us. It'd take a room full of dollar bills to really be wealth. It more depends upon the numbers that we have here and whether they be true. And this is also true where our riches in Christ are concerned. People can't see our riches, but they are most certainly there. We sometimes aren't aware of our riches, but they are most certainly there. Paul says in verse 5, in every way you were made rich, you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. The riches of Christ are ours because they were given to us through the truth, through the testimony about Christ, the truth of the gospel that has come to us. And if you stop and take a look at our text, you can see some of these riches. We are enriched, he says, in our speaking. We are enriched in our knowledge. He doesn't use the word, but carries on the same idea. We are enriched in every spiritual gift. We are enriched in being kept strong to the very end of our lives and the end of the world. We are enriched in being blameless. We're enriched in righteousness. And we'll so be righteous on the day of the Lord when he comes again. And we are enriched by God's faithfulness that he pours out upon us. And we're going to talk about these different riches in more detail later. But for right now, let's talk about how these riches became ours through the testimony about Christ that was confirmed in us. Okay, I told you these words would not be easy phrases, clauses. Let's talk about that. What Christ did was to redeem us from our sin. The word Christ, of course, means anointed one. Last week was the baptism of Jesus, and we were reminded that Jesus was appointed from eternity to be the sin bearer for all of us. And he was anointed into that office by the Holy Spirit himself at his baptism. And in time, as remember John here today says, Lamb of God, see him there? Behold, look, there he is. And in time, this Lamb of God accomplished our salvation. And now the benefit of his salvation, the riches that he earned for us, are delivered to us through his word. Paul says in the next chapter, he says, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. What you are being given through his word, also by the gospel here today, is a secret and hidden wisdom that is rich beyond all counting. Peter puts the epiphany emphasis on this when he says, 1 Peter 1, chapter 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. God created us and still preserves us. Anybody here eat something that's grown in this earth? Food? Of course. You know, we're city folk, we don't always see it. Some do, they're lucky. But the fact of the matter is that we all live every day because God created us, and as he decreed, he still preserves us. The earth continues to bring forth fruit to take care of us. That's physical. Spiritually, Christ died for all. And that's just as much a fact as the fact that we eat cornflakes. The fact that there is for us spiritual nourishment and spiritual life. But for the benefit of Christ's work to come to us, it has to come to us through the Word. So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Peter put it this way, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. So this really has two important things for us. It means we really need the comfort of God's Word. It's so easy to become a spiritual anorexic. You know what an anorexic is? That's that eating disorder where people don't eat. And so they just waste away. Famously, Karen Carpenter was one of the people that died because of her unwillingness to eat what was good for her. And it's so easy for us to become spiritual anorexics that we don't eat what's good for us. And as a result, we so easily dwindle away and grow weak, and can eventually die, especially when the crisis hits. We've not been prepared. It doesn't mean that Christ isn't faithful, but it means that his faithfulness is conveyed. The riches of his faithfulness are conveyed to us through his word. So that's one part of it. The other thing is what happens here in this church. Because God's word is brought to us, I should say, because the riches of God's grace are brought to us through his word, it's for that reason that St. Timothy Lutheran Church is what we call a confessional church. That is, the stress, the important thing about the church is what is taught and what is confessed. Now, it helps that we're friendly. It helps that we care for one another. It helps that we're concerned for one another. That's all important. It's important that our faith shows in our life. But the most important thing about the church at the end of the day is that people who come here hear about Christ. To say that this is a confessional church is to say that there is such a thing as truth. And that truth about God is not subject to human opinion. It isn't just what we want it to be. I don't get to, when I'm working on a sermon, say, what would the people like to hear today? It's about what the Bible says. And that doesn't change. Truth about God is something that the truth about God is something that he reveals to us through his word, and as a result, we can know about God for sure. Doesn't mean we're going to know everything about God. No, I can't tell you why he let your dog die. No, I can't tell you why you didn't do well in your gardening. I can't tell you those things. But what I can tell you about God on the basis of his word is true and for sure. And because we know the truth, it helps to distinguish between truth and falsehood in every matter about which the Bible speaks. Now, for you and for your spiritual riches, this makes a huge difference. You don't have spiritual riches because of your opinion about Jesus, that he's your opinion that he is true God, your opinion that he died for you, your opinion that he rose from the dead. Your feelings don't cut it. They aren't the important thing. You have spiritual riches because of the fact that Jesus Christ is the true and living God, because of the fact that he died for you, because of the fact that he rose from the dead. And this word gives you spiritual life and riches because the Holy Spirit uses it to reveal that truth to us. And he declares the truth to us whether we feel like it today or not. And that's important. Because when we most need it, we might very well not feel like it. I've noticed that when I visit people on their deathbeds, when they're dying, they feel like they're dying. And to come in and say, "How do you feel today? Do you feel good? Do you feel like Jesus loves you?" Feelings are rotten. The important thing is Jesus loves you whether you feel like it today or not. It's the reality that is important. So it's a blessing to us then that this church and the church body that we're affiliated with, the ELS and Wells and 20 other church bodies throughout the world, it's a blessing to us that they care about the truth. It's a blessing to us that the truth was rediscovered at the time of the Reformation and has been brought down to us. And it's not just something that we decided to do, it's something Jesus commanded. Matthew chapter 28, he said, "Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And he emphasized it also to his disciples when he said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." And he underscores it when his disciples, when his apostles like Paul went out to explain things to us. What did they say? Stick to the truth. Paul said, Galatians 1, "Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." So it's through this gospel then that we are enriched beyond all measure. We've already mentioned what those riches are. You've been enriched in your speaking, your knowledge, every spiritual gift. You've been enriched in being kept strong to the end. You've been enriched in righteousness in the day of the Lord. You've been enriched in God's faithfulness to you. But the question is, how are these riches for us? Probably in a lot of ways that we haven't even thought of. You know, it's like this. If this is a bank book and it has big numbers in it, which it doesn't, but if it did, why would this be important? Not because it's made out of genuine vinyl and all those good things, but the reason it's important is because of what it could get for us, right? Money isn't important because you get to pile it up and sit on it. Things are important. Riches are important because they accomplish something for us. they put us in possession of something else. Probably most of us think of riches in terms of security. If we were rich, then we actually wouldn't have to worry about the grocery bill. Wouldn't have to worry about food, clothing, shelter, the other necessities of life. And incidentally, in a sense, you're supposed to. Jesus taught you not to put your faith in riches, but he taught you to pray, give us, the actual translation, give us day by day our daily bread. Here it is, 2017. If I'm still alive in 2020, I'm going to have to depend on God having brought forth the bounty of the earth year after year if I'm going to eat. Same is true for you. That's what he wants to trust us to trust in, not our riches. Compared to bank book riches, the riches of God's grace are even greater. They're staggering. The blessings they convey make the riches of the Sultan, the riches of the Sultan of Brunei, the riches of all of the rich people we hear about meager by comparison. Through the gospel, you have these riches. And the list that we're given proceeds to a sort of climax. First, you are enriched in your speaking. What does that mean? Well, it means that you, because you live in faith, because you know the word, you can speak something that is very rare and precious in this world. You can speak the very truth of God. You can speak the truth revealed in his word, as opposed to the lies of the devil that have become the propaganda of the world. And most important, you can speak the words of forgiveness. What riches you can give someone else when you say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you. Because those words are true. When they're spoken according to Christ's command to anyone in sorrow over their sin, to you I say them, your sins are forgiven. They are true. Now, certainly the thunder of the law is also true when you declare it, condemning this world. But most importantly are those priceless words of the gospel. You're enriched in speaking. You're enriched also in your knowledge. You have knowledge of God that is grounded in truth. Put it in another way, you have certainty who God is, what he has done, and especially the certainty that he loves you and has made you acceptable to him by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. How many people are in anguish over, is God a bad God? Is he a good God? Is he an angry God? Is he angry at me? Why do terrible things happen to me? Does that mean that God's angry with me? You know the truth of God's love and mercy to you. You're enriched also in every spiritual gift. Because God's word is part of our lives, the Holy Spirit enriches our lives in a lot of different ways. But Paul especially talked about it in writing to the Galatians, chapter 5. He talked about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And where can you buy these things? What would the world be like if we were all merciful and gracious, kind and faithful, gentle, self-controlled? Now, it's true that we have our old sinful nature with us also, and so there's this conflict. But do not doubt that God, through the gospel, strengthens us also in all these good things. We're enriched also in being kept strong to the end. One thing that the riches of this world cannot buy is strength in old age. It's the nature of physical life that it dwindles and diminishes and finally goes out. Yet so great are the riches that we have through God and His Word that we may even grow in faith. We may grow in our spiritual life. We may grow in certainty of God's love and our salvation until our dying day. Now, it's not inevitable. I used to think that as people got older, they must become definitely wiser and stronger in the faith. Unfortunately, as we get older, sometimes people wander away from the faith. You know, the kids are grown. I don't have to be in church all the time. It becomes less important. We don't even see the real issues that we face as human beings sometimes. They're not played out in our lives as they once were. And so we, again, become spiritually anorexic. But if we will let God's word be part of our lives, we are enriched in strength even to our dying day. Enriched also in being blameless on the day of our Lord. Enriched in righteousness. That faith that we have is in what? It's in the perfect righteousness of Christ. And at what price was it purchased? No riches on earth could buy the remission of sins. It had to be purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. And finally, I said it was a climax. We are enriched in God's faithfulness to you. Paul ends his list with the source of all the riches. God's promises to you. The gospel, that's the testimony that Paul speaks of. These promises are the same as his faithfulness. They're the promises of our faithful God. And he gives and keeps eternal promises. The promises such as, I will never leave you or forsake you. The promises such as, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. The promises such as, whoever believes in me shall never die. And surely we may speak of these riches as Paul does to the Romans. Chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. To which we add, this is most certainly true.